Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we enter the final full week of the Top Flight World Cup break. Celtic added to their squad over the weekend with the signing of Alistair Johnston. Rangers fans turn their attentions to tomorrow's AGM. Maeda scores for Japan, but Juranovic and Barisic go through on penalties as Croatia progress to the quarter finals. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Roger Hanna.
It was the weekend of the heavyweights, Gordon. The big hitters. The Netherlands through, Argentina through, France, England, and now Croatia, all through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And when it comes to heavyweights and big hitters, none bigger than Tyson Fury. A win at Tottenham, and I think he's now ready to take on Andy Halliday in Hearts.
Well, seen Halliday was well out the road at that fight yesterday, I must know. In case you're wondering, that's why he's not here. Ably replaced, as always, by Jim Duffy. The first time we've had you back, I think, since you went back into the management game, the madness of the management game. How's it been?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's up and down, as you would imagine at this level. Gordon, the first couple of games, players did really, really well, and then obviously not so well at the weekend there. So it's it's a tough task because the competitive level in this division is quite obvious. But listen, we'll just keep working hard and see if we can improve things as we go.
And being the football obsessive that you are, I'm sure you're keeping an eye of everything else that's doing the rounds. Rangers have got a new manager as well, by the way, in case you hadn't heard. Celtic are signing players over the weekend, even though it's late November, early December. We've got a World Cup raging on, and not too long before the Top Flight returns.
Yeah, I think Andy was staying at the confrontation just in case somebody pulled his hair. So not a good idea. But there's always plenty to talk about, Gordon. I think obviously the World Cup takes precedent over everything else, and there's been some fantastic games and some terrific goals. And as Roger said there, there was a few shocks early on in the qualifying stages, but when it comes to the knockout stages, the big guns seem to be having their focus and getting their priorities right, and so far no shocks in that stage of the tournament.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you, Rangers fans. Maybe you're looking ahead to tomorrow's AGM. I know there is more positivity now because the manager's in place and many of you are happy with the appointment, but there's still been a lot of question marks for board members and directors of recruitment and all the rest of it. So why not get your thoughts in ahead of that? What sort of points do you want to see answered tomorrow? Celtic fans, I know it was over the weekend, but maybe you were too busy doing your Christmas shopping or on your Christmas night out. Why not pick up the phone and let us know what you're making of your team doing some very early transfer business. Did you watch the World Cup there? Juranovic and Barisic, they're through. Maeda scored in 90 minutes, but they're out. So anything at all that's on your mind, now is the time, and this is the place to share it. 0141 951 1025. And by the way, every single caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the draw for the chance to win a pair of tickets to a tribute night to the Wim Jansen Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. What a night that should be. It's at the SEC Armadillo in May next year. Lots of the main characters from that era will be there. Jackie McNamara, Harold Brattback, Morten Wiekhorst, many more. And I'm not daft, I know that's not up the street of everyone in this city with the way things are divided. But look, it's the 5th of December. You'll be a very popular pal or dad, uncle, husband, whatever it may be, if you can win the tickets and pass them on to the Celtic fan in your life. Now, to win the tickets, all you need to do is just come on air and make a point. It's that simple. That's all you need to do. Everyone who comes on air and makes a point goes into the draw, and we'll announce the winner at the end of the night. You can actually buy them online at An Unforgettable Experience 3. However, I think it's much easier to come on here, chat football with Jim and Roger, and go in the hat for the tickets anyway. So come on down, 0141 951 1025. Right, don't think you're getting off the hook because there's no Top Flight. Result of the weekend, Roger Hanna, go.
Result of the weekend has to be Queen's Park back at Hampden for the first time. We couldn't get anything done in the show on Saturday for Andrew McLean interrupting us with goal flashes from the Spiders, beating Hamilton Accies 4-0. It keeps Owen Coyle's side right in the hunt at the top of the championship table. And what better way to go back to your original home?
Yeah, for me it would be Dundee up at Inverness. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, they've just been quietly just gathering a wee bit of momentum under the radar a little bit now. Dundee, I think at the start of the season, of course, were most people's favourites. A little bit inconsistent, but now starting to find that consistency in the 1-0 victory up there with Paul McMillan scoring again. So yeah, I think they're on good form just now.
Goal of the weekend, come on then.
Probably one I saw down at Somerset Park. Josh Mullen get two for AR. His first one created by Logan Chalmers. If you've not seen it yet, have a little look at the trick that Logan Chalmers does before delivering the cross. And I'd advise you, don't try it at home, because if you go over on your ankle, you'll be in a stookie at Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think domestically, it'd be Josh McPake scored a terrific goal for Queen's Park, cutting in from the left. Mbappe-esque, in fact, into the far corner. If you want to go really at the top level, you pick either of Mbappe's goals.
I was wondering if you were keeping it domestic or if you just genuinely thought these goals were better than Mbappe's, but I prefer this the second version. Right, what about your howler of the weekend? That's when it gets more interesting.
Howler of the weekend, well, we might need to go far to beat the Japanese penalties that we've just seen in the television. They missed three. They've gone out. They were almost like three back passes to the Croatian goalkeeper. They were so bad. Disastrous.
Terrible. All right, Jim.
Yeah, I think that I wouldn't say it was a howler, but certainly the most controversial aspect might have been Hart's pre-season trip away from home, which
That counts as a howler for me. Was abandoned
due to, what did they say, was it a confrontation?
Fisticuffs, handbags, call it what you want. We will need to get Halliday's input on that. He was staying well back, I'm sure. But yeah, that's quite something, going over there for some warm weather training, getting a friendly in and getting it cancelled because of a wee scrap on the pitch. Very interesting stuff. A very interesting weekend for the Jambos. Right, now I hope you've either one of you's got something up your sleeve here, because there's a man who deserves to be mentioned that hasn't yet. So who's your top man, your top performer of the weekend?
Well, you see, I'm always a cynic. I wonder if these Hearts players who were fighting were just getting a little bit of practice in, because when Cammy Devlin comes back from the World Cup to Tynecastle, they'll all be fighting him to get that Lionel Messi shirt back.
Unbelievable.
How he managed to get a player who didn't play a single minute at the World Cup manages to talk Lionel Messi into his shirt after the game at the weekend, and how the guys who did play, like Kai Rowles, Aziz Behic, all of those lads, didn't manage to get Messi's shirt. Astonishing. Fair play to you, Cammy.
What a collector's item that is. Right, Jim, it must be you.
Yeah,
come on.
Certainly, there'll be a lot of companies, I think, want him as a salesman. You know, he's must have the patter. But for me, it has to be Jamie Sneddon,
yes.
Partick Thistle, the goalkeeper. You know, it's always a wee bit of folklore when a goalkeeper scores a last minute goal. And obviously, it's an equaliser as well. So it gets Partick Thistle a result, some form of result coming back from Cove. And it was a terrific header, I have to say that. You know, there's too many times you see goalkeepers and you think, well, that's a waste of time. But
exactly.
No, he attacked the ball
superb.
Well, a bullet header. So yeah, for me, Jamie Sneddon.
Brilliant. 01419511025. Come on then, let's hear from you. What is on your mind tonight? Maybe you're a fan of a lower league team and you want to talk about your game, your team, your performance at the weekend. Please do. Celtic fans, what about doing the business early? There's already another centre back brought in last week. Now it's Alistair Johnson, Canadian right back, confirmed on Saturday afternoon. What have you made of him at the World Cup? What do you make of getting the business done so early? Rangers fans, I think we're working our way through the reaction to Michael Beale taking over. We had a full week of that. What about tomorrow then? It's AGM time. Are there still questions needing to be answered, or are you feeling a lot better about things simply because the new manager is in place? Why not let us know? And we'll even talk World Cup if you want. That's the beauty of this show, remaining on during the World Cup break. It really is up to you. Come on, 01419511025. Let's bring in Alec, who's a Celtic fan. Mixed bag during that World Cup, Alec. Maeda scores and goes out. Juranovic goes through. Did you watch it?
I did watch it, Gordon. I'd like to say vive la France before we start.
Quite right. Even though I've got England in the sweepstake, Alec, so I'm a bit torn, I must admit. But anyway,
don't you worry about that, Gordon. Anyway, it was good to see the Celtic right back and the Rangers left back, Juranovic and Barisic, playing well today. Obviously, Maeda, it was good. It gives you a wee bit of extra excitement when you see players coming from their own league. I thought the three of them actually done well. Obviously, I was rooting for Japan, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought they played the better football. But good to see Celtic Rangers being involved in the World Cup, and hopefully it will continue into the second part of the season.
Yeah, mixed bag, like we said. Roger Maeda early on looked like he was going to be the match winner. And then, of course, his teammates maybe let him down with the penalties that were atrocious. For Barisic and Juranovic, they've probably both had better games, actually, but it can't be a bad thing, can it, to be in the quarterfinals of the World Cup?
No, and listen, Maeda took his goal really well, and he deserved it for a really good performance. It was a touching moment after the penalty shootout where he was in tears. His Celtic teammate Juranovic went over, kissed him in the head, gave him a wee hug, and you could see, you know, the disappointment etched all over Maeda's face because he had given everything, and then they go out in the worst possible manner on that penalty shootout. But, you know, as Alex says, Barisic, Juranovic now on to probably Brazil in a quarter final next weekend. And if they get further, they'll probably miss the restart to the Premiership. I don't think any of us were expecting players who were going out from the Scottish Premiership to miss the resumption because they were still there at the World Cup.
Is that the cut-off, would you say, then? Can you, realistically, you can probably play the quarter finals and then come back?
Well, it's certainly in Borna Barisic's case, because I think the two semi-finals are the Tuesday and Wednesday, and Rangers play Hibs on the Thursday.
Well, that's definitely going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And Juranovic just gets that extra day or two because Celtic play on the Saturday.
Lunchtime in Pittodrie, yeah.
No problems for Cameron Carter-Vickers, unfortunately for him. They were sent packing at the weekend.
I thought he was unlucky to be left out the game on Saturday afternoon against the Dutch, because I thought he played really well in the group game he was called into.
Right, Jim, be honest then. Where's the balance here? If you're a manager or at a club, if you're at Celtic or Rangers, is it about, great, these guys will be better players because they're on the world stage and they're performing against good opposition and they'll come back better players? Or does your finance director call you up and say, kerching, it can't be a bad thing to put players in that type of shot window?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from a manager's point of view, the confidence and belief that these players can go toe-to-toe with the best players in the world and not look out their depth, not just the Old Firm players, but I've seen guys for Dundee United, St Mirren, Hearts, etc. So I think that says that our league is perhaps a little bit better than some people would suggest it is in terms of the football and the quality and the depth of players now. But you're right. For the players, their agents, and also for chief executives and things like that, clubs, they'll be looking, thinking, there's a possibility that the value of these players could be significantly increased. Celtic signing a right back, which would suggest, you would think there has to be some sort of interest in Juranovic, because you wouldn't really see, even at Celtic with the depth, I've got three out and out right backs with Anthony Ralston, Juranovic, and now Johnson. Would you really need three right backs? You wouldn't think so. So that would suggest that perhaps there's been discussions in the background regarding Juranovic. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, what about that, Celtic fans? Because I know it was Saturday afternoon, but this, of course, is the first time we've had the chance to catch up as a midweek audience. So what did you make of the signing of Alistair Johnston on Saturday? Do let us know. What about that, Alec? Celtic have done their business early, signing the Canadian right back. What did you read into that?
I think Big Jim's put it right in the button. I think, obviously, Juranovic has been looked at. I mean, Man United's been quoted as being interested in him. Obviously, we're not going to have three right backs, Gordon. Anthony Ralston, the new Canadian boy, and Juranovic. I would imagine Juranovic might have played his last game for Celtic. But if we get 15, 20 million for him, somebody like Man United, it's a good bit of business.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, the Alistair Johnston one, it was done on Saturday. I think people knew it was coming. Ange Postecoglou might have tried hard to keep his cards close to his chest on Friday when he was asked about it, but it was announced on Saturday. Like I say, the first time we've kind of been on midweek since. What did you make of that? And is it as simple as everyone says, oh well then, that'll be Juranovic on his way?
Yes, I think it probably is, to be honest with you. The story broke just before it came on air on Saturday, didn't it, Gordon, that Johnston was arriving? As Jim says, Celtic, you know, even Celtic or Rangers aren't going to carry three right backs or three left backs or anything like that. So I think the arrival of Johnston is good business by Celtic. If you can get the replacement in before the head guy departs, then that's good business. I think Juranovic will go. I'm not sure 15 to 20 million, but I think if Celtic get 10 million for him, that is a major lift in what they paid when he came in from Poland a year or two back. He's done well for Celtic. He's enhanced his own reputation. He's enhancing it still at the World Cup just now. He's started every game. He's played well for Croatia. They're into a quarter final now, probably against Brazil. He'll be up against his old pal Vinicius Junior, who he played in the Champions League.
He probably thought, hopefully I don't see this guy again for a while. And now he's going to, and he'll be able to call on Neymar as well, just to come over and help him out if he needs it.
Well, I think he's
back. I think
he's
God, back when you look at any fullback, you know, not any, but the vast majority of fullbacks now, it's about what they do with the ball, how they are going forward, yeah, how they link up the play, you know, the deliveries into the box, all these sort of things. And that's what the statisticians will look at, you know, in the analysis details. They don't really look too much about the defensive qualities, because there's not many that can, you know, if you want to call it old school defenders. But Juranovic, you can see even today, not his best game again defensively, but his link up play, you know, he's forward, he's going forward. All those kind of assets, I think, will make him attractive for other clubs. Manchester United, I'm not so sure. Let's talk about Frimpong going there, actually, to Manchester United, one of Celtic's old fullbacks.
I mean, Jim, does Roger? Sorry, such is the way of football now. It's crazy. You've got players retiring in their late 20s, right? But he's 27, right? Which is not old, but It probably is entering that stage where if there's a big move to come, if there's a 5-year deal from someone, then it probably is. Now that's the reality of it. You get to 27 and you start to look at that. So is that maybe part of the thinking? You know, he's a bit older than a couple, you know, than Matt O'Reilly or Rio Hitati or some of the other players.
100%. He'll be talking to his international captain, Luka Modric. He'll be saying to him,
"That's true.
You're into your last 2 5-year contracts now, Joseph." So he will be looking for that sort of deal at 27. If he's going to go to a bigger league, as we said on Saturday, not necessarily a bigger club, just a bigger league, a bumper contract that will set him up for life. I think this is probably the time to go, either January or the summer, but with Alistair Johnson coming in, you would think probably January.
Would you be sad to see Juranovic go, Alec, or does the signing of Alistair Johnson, does it all just make sense, or is he still a player you'd rather keep?
I understand what league we're in, Gordon, and to get the money in. I think we are a selling club. If we get a couple of star players that we can obviously sell and keep the books healthy, you know. I mean, the boy Johnson looked very, very capable for Canada. He was, at one point, he was a way up in the outside left position for Canada when they were attacking. So I know that's the way Ange likes to play and get his fullbacks forward. They look pretty, he looks as if he likes a tackle. I mean, Tony Ralston hasn't let us do that either. He's been pretty steady whenever he's been called in. But no, I think if we get a few bob, I mean, I don't know where Frimpong comes into it, because I don't think Frimpong could lace Juranovic's boots, to be perfectly honest with you, Roger. You know, I think Juranovic is a much better fullback. But again, I never ever thought Frimpong would go to, was it Bayern Munich?
He's at Bayern Leverkusen, and I must say he's doing extremely well. Have to say,
again, modern day football. Yeah. I think that Alec will be looking, saying defensively, but Frimpong, again,
he's
quite,
see that
he
much
drives
of him
forward.
Celtic, really, did we?
It was still a young age, only 21 when he left or something, 20 or something. But listen, at the end of the day, you know, clubs scour the world these days. That's the reason why we're saying there's so many players currently playing in Scotland, playing in the World Cup from all over the world.
Thank you, Alec. Alec goes into the hat, like I said at the start. Every single caller who makes it on air tonight goes into a draw to win a pair of tickets to a special tribute night for the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row in the late 90s there. Every single caller, all you need to do, you just need to come on and make a point to the panel. I mean, try and make it a good one, don't get me wrong, but all you need to do is come on and make a point to the panel and you're in that hat. So if you're a Celtic fan, that's the perfect night out. And if you're not, I'm pretty sure you'll know one and you'll be very popular this Christmas. So 01419511025, perfect time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Roger Hannah are here. 01419511025. Come on down. Let us know what your thoughts are tonight. I feel like this was one of the prime days for the World Cup and Scottish Premiership colliding, because if we had callers on about Barisic and Maeda and Juranovic might leave anyway because Celtic signed Alistair Johnson from Canada at the weekend. And Pozog just says, it was a nice wee touch, Juranovic going to see Maeda at the end with a wee kiss on the napper. he says, which is true. Mixed emotions.
Well, listen, there's a lot to be said. That was how I greeted Jim Duffy when he came in tonight.
It was like Zidane and Barthez that have really let themselves go over the last few years. No offense. 01419511025. If you get through to make a point tonight, you go into the hat for a pair of tickets to a tribute night for the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. I'm sure that would be popular among Celtic fans. And I keep saying it, if you're not a Celtic fan, you'll know someone who is. So why not win the tickets for them, and you'll be very popular this Christmas. So 01419511025. Paul is a Celtic fan in Hamilton. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Hi, how you doing? Jim, I hope you'll get some hankies there anyway. Lipstick off your reading of Roger
Major. Keep the right jealous.
I think the deal already been done with Juranovic, and I think sort of like Ange and the Celtic board has been really, really shrewd getting a player who's obviously, he's up to speed with his height, his match fitness, obviously, in the World Cup. The boy done all right when he's obviously with Canada, places during the games that he played. So I think he's ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah, just purely because I'm nosy, Jim and Roger, I'd like to know exactly what stage that's at, as Paul knows. Do you think there is something absolutely concrete or as close as it's in the pipeline for Juranovic and it's just waiting on the trigger to be pulled, or are Celtic simply anticipating interest? I mean, the clubs know in this situation. Will they know already?
Yeah, well, of course, because you know, obviously agents in particular, you know, will relay information. Obviously the player himself, there may have been discussions over the last few months about if someone else comes in, is he interested in moving on. And as Postecoglou has made it perfectly clear, they only want players who are totally committed to Celtic to be there. Now, you know, we're obviously surmising that's the case, as Paul has mentioned. We can't guarantee it. We don't know 100%. But you would. The suggestion is that would you bring him in for 6 months, even if he's going to leave in the summer, just to, you know, kind of you know, work his way into the kind of program of Ange Postecoglou? Possibly, because the way Celtic play is very, very demanding and is quite unique at times,
especially for a fullback.
Yeah. So perhaps, you know, he is going to come in and integrate him, you know, over the next 3 or 4 months, so that he's ready and up and running for next season. So I don't think it's guaranteed that Juranovic would go. It would just seem to make a little bit more sense.
Roger?
Ange Postecoglou he's never hidden. We spoke about it in Saturday, Gordon. He's never hidden from the fact that he likes to turn the squad over. He likes to add in every transfer window. He's quite happy if players like Juranovic come in, do well, get sold at a big profit. And come January, if he's got Alistair Johnson in and there are offers there on the table for Juranovic, he might be keen to take something in the region of, say, for argument's sake, £10 million, because what that will do, that might then allow him to go and buy another striker, or it might allow him to go and bolster another position in the team that he thinks needs strengthened.
What did you make of Alistair Johnson? It's great when you have a signing that actually played at the World Cup and people can pretend they're now all experts on him, having watched him 3 times. Add to that the YouTube clips that everybody researches now. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I thought, listen, Canada will be disappointed. They didn't get through, you know, that great start against Croatia when they scored after a minute. Alfonso Davies scored. They couldn't hang on. And, you know, it was great. It was the first time they'd been at a final since 1986. It was nice to see David Witherspoon of St Johnson getting on for the last few moments of the last game against Morocco. But
doing his wee trademark chop that he does, sending the defender the wrong way.
So it certainly allowed the Celtic fans to get a good look at Alistair Johnson, because they were defending a lot, and they were defending a lot against good players. You know, you look at the Croatians that eventually beat them. They're now in the quarterfinals. You know, he took on the De Bruyne's and all the star-studded Belgians. So it was a big learning curve. But he strikes me as a player who, in all of the different stages of learning, he has developed his career. You know, he was at Nashville, then he only had a season at Montreal, and he's really enhanced his reputation by there. Is it 33 consecutive internationals, I think, he's played for Canada? So clearly John Herdman is convinced by his credentials.
It's a lot of money though, Rogers. Was it 3.4 million, you know, suggestions somewhere about that? And to me, that is an awful lot of money for a boy, as you say, who hasn't, you know, maybe, listen, we know the way Celtic's recruitment has been, you know, all over the world, which so far the vast majority have been very successful. But I still think it's a bit of a risk, you know, getting a player from, you know, that area. You know, coming to play for Celtic, you know, and the demands of Celtic. So I think he will need a bit of time to settle in. That's the reason why I don't think it's a nailed on, Gordon, that Juranovic will leave in the January window for me.
How highly do you rate Juranovic, Paul? How big a loss would it be? We've had a bit of a mix, more of a mixed response to that than I expected in the last couple of weeks, I must admit.
See, I mean, obviously, when you actually look at Juranovic last year, how he played, and then obviously from the start of the season, when there were obviously bigger clubs actually coming in for him and all the rest of it, I think he's been off the boil a wee bit. He's no being the same player. It's sort of terms you see the wee touch. I really do think that, watching him.
Yeah, listen, I completely agree with that, Paul. I completely agree with it. I remember him first coming to the club, and it was his debut. I think his debut was an Old Firm game at left back. Celtic had injury problems, and you could immediately see this was a decent player. And once he got over and made the right back berth his own, you thought, yep, this has been a really good signing. But I tend to agree with you. Ever since all this chat of it's Manchester United, it's Atletico Madrid, it's Chelsea, it's this one, it's that one, I don't think he has kicked on this season at all. And if Alistair Johnson's in the building, Jim says Anthony Ralston's there already, I think if there's a decent bid, I think Celtic will take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think all Celtic fans would say that you know, his form's not been at the same, quite at the same level. I still think he's been pretty decent, but yeah, you know, I think it's dropped off a little bit. And again, maybe just in the back of his mind, you know, which is, it's a kind of natural thing. He knew that, you know, the World Cup was coming up. He wanted to be a part of it. He's maybe been a wee bit tentative, maybe not quite the same aggression in his commitment, because if he does get an injury, it would be a significant blow for him physically and mentally. So maybe he's just come off the pace a little bit to protect himself a little bit, Gordon, which is kind of understandable, really.
Thank you, Paul. Well, Alistair Johnson has spoken. He spoke to Celtic TV over the weekend. Here's what he had to say.
Growing up in a British household, Celtic was one of the clubs that, you know, is near and dear to our hearts. And for me, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. So no, just to hear that this was a team, this was a club that was interested in me, and to see the project that the coaching staff had, and, you know, the progress, you know, this team, this club continues to make, you know, in Europe as well, as it was really exciting. And for me, when I heard that there was potentially some interest there, I told my agents, hey, look, get this one over the line. This is where I want to go. So, no, I'm just buzzing to finally have this done, and just really excited to get over there and get started.
0141 951 1025. Paul's in the hat for those tickets, by the way. So let's also add Davey to that. Davey's from Paisley. What's your point tonight, Davey?
Hi, guys. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Davey.
Hello. Roger.
Hi, Davey.
I was just talking to the producer. I'm just chatting about players that may come in and may come out. Celtic have got an abundance of centre-halves now. The likes are obviously bringing in the Japanese boy, but Big Starfield's a bit injury-prone, and potentially Boy Welsh maybe getting loan this season. I'm thinking the boy Portis for Hibs will be a free transfer. He's probably about a £3 million player in my eyes, and I think if he, under the guidance of Big Ange, he could potentially become a better player. What are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I think you're right, Davey, in the sense of somebody like Porteous, if he's out of contract, and he's obviously made it clear to Hibernian, and he's looking to move on, as you said, for no fee, would be a guy with real potential. Yeah, listen, everyone goes on about, and I've mentioned it myself at times over the last couple of years, that he's still got a little streak in him. He's got to you know, just calm down at certain aspects and maybe not get carried away. But I do believe he's got real potential. I think he's good on the ball. I think he would be a player that would suit going to Celtic in the style that Ange Postecoglou plays. So yeah, I think that would be a good option if they move guys out. But again, as you mentioned, they've got their top heavy with centre backs at this moment in time. I don't agree with Starfield's injury prone. I think he's been a little bit unlucky here and there, because when he came in at first, he wasn't match fit, if you want to call
just
it that.
Off the plane almost, wasn't he, that night?
So I think he was thrown in at the deep end a little bit. But I think him and Carter Vickers, you know, last year was a terrific partnership. So I do think he could still be a very important player. Obviously, Jens, you know, we don't know the situation regarding that in anything longer term. But yeah, I agree, Davey. I think Porteous would be a good shout.
Could Ryan Porteous be a a target for Celtic, Roger? Is that one you can see?
Interesting. I was reading Lee Johnson's quotes the other day, and clearly Hibernian now will try and get some money for Portis
in January,
transfer window. They knocked back decent money from Millwall, I think it was last January. At the same time, they were knocking back Birmingham for Kevin Nisbet. But Ryan Portis has made it clear to the club he's not going to sign another deal. He sees his future elsewhere. I would take a gamble on him. If you're getting him either on a pre-contract to come for nothing in the summer, or you need to pay Hibs something in January, I would take a chance on him. Jim Duffy knows a lot more about centre-halves than I do, but if you watch his performance for Scotland against the Ukraine and Poland, you've seen some of his performances domestically this season for Hibs, it looks a lad who is at a good age, and it looks like one who can develop further elsewhere.
Not to throw cold water in Davey's suggestion, because I agree with it, but I have heard a little bit of a suggestion that he might be going across the road to their greatest rivals.
Oh, okay.
So I have heard that. No, whether there's much in it, but that is
wouldn't
something
be the,
that's
wouldn't
in
be the
kind of football grapevine, should we say.
Will we create our own bidding war or whatever it is? Wouldn't be the first player to be of tug of war. It'll be transfer tug of war. It'll be in your paper.
Fascinating to see when he goes and whether or not Alfredo Morelos warmly greets him on the way into the dressing room, because the two of them have had a few tussles over the years. Yeah.
What do you think, Davey? Then would you pay a small fee to get him in January, or are you playing the waiting game and gambling and hoping it's a freebie in the summer?
I think it's an absolute no-brainer, to be honest, Gordon. You're getting probably a potential £4 million player there. I know Jim's right with Starfield. That was probably the wrong word they used, with injury-prone, because big Callum Vickers had this other one as well. So, no, I would take a gamble. It's not the other thing, it's a gamble. I think it's a no-brainer, because there's a player in there, an absolute player in there. It's just if Big Ange can get the penis, his antics on the park sometimes.
Does a lot of the centre-half picture depend on what Ange Postecoglou thinks about Moritz Yen's future, what he thinks about Stephen Welsh's future, although that one is probably a bit more predictable. Mm-hmm. He's never that close to the starting 11 when people are fit, because they've signed one. They signed Kobayashi, left-sided, last week.
Yeah, again, and Carter Vickers is nailed on. You would imagine Kobayashi having been left-sided would be, the obvious partner then for Carter Vickers. But if Celtic, aspirations to win every tournament they go in for, particularly domestically, and then compete better in Europe, as Ange Postecoglou has mentioned, then you do need competition for places, and I would probably think Jens would move on. And as Davey said, if somebody like Portis could be an option, yeah, I don't see why not. I think Portis as well, through, because of the type of player he is and because he's comfortable in the ball, I think that in a year or so's time, if he went to a club at Celtic, I've got no doubt he could actually play as a sitting mid as well, sitting midfielder, because I think he's got that footballing quality in him, range of pass in him. Yeah, we know he's natural aggression, but I think the more you have of the ball, the less you have to make challenges. And Celtic, are a team that have the ball the vast majority of the time.
Davey, it doesn't always happen, but the pundits are in agreement, so thank you. That was Davey and Paisley on 01419511025. He goes into the hat for the tickets, just like everyone else who gets through to make a point tonight. Now, before we go any further, transfers, World Cup, it's all very exciting, but if you tune your ears into anything this evening, make sure it's this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Right, what a prize we've got for you to win, and it makes a huge difference to local children in Glasgow and the West at the same time. What is not to like? I know how it works. You'll be sitting there waiting for the catch, and there isn't one, because thanks to Arnold Clark, we've got a brand new 72 plate Mercedes A-Class car to give away. It is a 180 AMG line premium hatchback. It's got all the mod cons. I actually went down to see it today, and believe me, even Hugh Keevans could win this prize. It parks itself, Jim Duffy. Have you ever heard such a thing? It parks itself. So the man who can't drive, even he could win it. Now, all you need to do to be in with a chance of winning is text CAR to 84901. That's C-A-R to 84901. The text costs your standard network rate message, and then £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So you're giving a fiver to children in your community, right on your doorstep, that need your help, and you might even win a car at the end of it. Talk about a win-win. That does not even do it justice. We're trying to help battle holiday hunger. We're trying to make a difference for children this Christmas Day. That's the right thing to do. and you might drive off in a brand spanking new Merc at the same time. So it is an incredible chance. The lines close Saturday the 17th of December at 6pm. Over 18s only. T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. So do not forget, text CAR to 84901. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've got another World Cup game coming up. No direct Premiership involvement this evening, but I'm sure we'll enjoy Brazil, South Korea nevertheless. So we'll keep a wee eye on that. You can talk World Cup, by the way. I know it's just a bit of a strange time. We've never had to come on for 5 weeks whilst the Premiership goes into World Cup hibernation. So if you want to talk about that, please do. We've been talking a bit about Celtic's new right back and what this means for their current right back, who, by the way, along with Rangers left back, got through on penalties against Celtic's striker at the World Cup. Are you following me?
There's always a link, Gordon.
It's always.
Speaking of Celtic right backs, do you think Anthony Ralston will be watching this game tonight, cheering on his old pal Neymar?
I think that's unlikely, to say the least.
I must admit, I was a wee bit surprised he kept taking Maeda off. You know, I thought he was doing well. Scored. Yeah, but he didn't look. I mean, I know we know the way he plays for Celtic. You know, he's constant, but he'd done that every game. It was almost like, you know, it was a certain cut off point, regardless of how the game was going. I must admit, looking at the game today, I thought far too early to take him off, and I did think it had an impact because I think they were much weaker when he came off. Yeah.
Well, they're out, and he'll be on his way back to Glasgow at some point. Celtic fans, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, it's quietened down a bit. How busy has it been the last few weeks? There was all the speculation about the manager. Then the manager left. Then the new one got appointed. And it's just been non-stop thinking ahead to the resumption of the Premiership. The only thing you might have had in your calendar for a while is the club's AGM tomorrow. So I wonder if you're going along. Any shareholders out there want to get in touch? What issues are you expecting to be raised? What would you like answered? Why not come on here and use it as a pre-AGM sounding board, if you like? Because for weeks there was a lot of negativity on these phone lines. You know, there was a lot said about investment, in recruitment, in board members. So I know that Michael Beale's come along and made many of you feel better about things. But is everything better? Is everything rosy? Or will there be a few tough questions to be answered tomorrow at that AGM? Why not let us know right now? 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Stuart and Cote Bridge on that topic and see what he thinks. Take it away, Stuart.
Yes, thanks very much for letting us on. I think there'll be something happening tomorrow. I know for a fact, I don't think Dougie Part will be no longer the chairman. I think that's the reason why Bale came in, because he knows the club. I think there'll be changes. 3 weeks ago I was talking to one of my friends that's friends with Dougie Part's son, and he was telling me there was a bit of ups and downs with the board and the training wasn't up to standard, which was proof when Bale came in, he cancelled the friendly. So that tell me, when I seen Morelos a couple of weeks ago, he's never been fit for the last manager get sacked. I think maybe the first or the second week of January, I think Rangers will have a new board, and I think it's time for Dougie Park to step down. The man, he's been there and done it, but I still think King will be something to do with it. I think he's got things going on behind the scenes right now that we don't know about.
What do you make of that, Roger? There was a story today, actually, a development pre-AGM, that the fan shareholder group, Club 1872, they will vote against the reappointment of Chairman Douglas Park at that meeting tomorrow. I think it was 29% of their members drew support for his reappointment. Now, this is, you get your calculator out, Club 1872 has got a 5% shareholding in the club. Well, of course, Dave King, I think, still the largest shareholding. He's been critical as well, but, and this, I'm about to bore people to tears here, but bear with me, Douglas Park himself has a 12% shareholding, so he's possibly / probably still likely to get enough backing to stay should he want to.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Should he want to, he will get enough backing to stay. That's not to say Douglas Park or anyone else will be staying long term. Just look, you know, Celtic had an AGM the other week, and they get the AGM out of the way, and then Peter Lomwell returned to the club as non-executive chairman. I think Rangers might get the AGM out of the way, and then if there are any changes in their boardroom, they will come further down the line. But I don't expect any, you know, any public embarrassment for Douglas Park or anyone else tomorrow.
Stuart, Is everything rosy because Michael Beale's arrived, or will there still be some questions and tough points that the board will have to answer?
No, I think Beale, he's been there, as you see, he's been there and done it. I think it's a great appointment. I think he will prove to the Rangers fans, he will, because as I said, as soon as the friendly get cancelled on the right away, well, you could tell when we were fitness, you've seen it 3 or 4 weeks ago before the break for the World Cup, he wasn't fit. You could tell he had won his worst game just before the World Cup started. You could hardly kick a ball, hardly pass a ball. So that was to do with the last manager's training. It wasn't up to standards.
I guess that's some potentially separate issues, Jim. Maybe conflating a couple of things, but you never know. You've seen him many over the years. Nothing's off limits. I've seen fans ask why certain players are taking corner kicks at AGMs and all sorts. So,
listen, for sure, point of view, I mean, he's only about Morelos' fitness. The fitness is down first and foremost to the player individually. You know, it's how much he wants to be. You know, as fit as he knows, he'll know his own standard. Then you've got the sports science department. You've got the fitness department. You know, it's not all down to the manager. You know, people say, but the way he trains, you know, so you can do a lot of stuff, but if they're not as professionals they should be, then the player's going to suffer, and ultimately the team's going to suffer. So I don't know if that's the case with Morelos. It's just the suggestion. I think that he doesn't look as sharp and as fit as he should be. Regarding the club itself in terms of the AGM. You know, I'm not sure, but if Douglas Park is still going to want to be there, but I think he has a significant investment in the club, so I think if he does come out, he may want some of that money, if not all of it, back in again, which again is a different proposition for Rangers. And also, it's, you know, Stuart's saying there that you know, that everything should be a little bit calmer because of Michael Beale. Again, I go back to, I was on the programme a few weeks ago, and I was kind of defending Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. You know, and ultimately, it's about where you see success. If you're a Rangers fan just now, would winning a trophy this year, or do you have to, you know, overtake Celtic? And I know Michael Beale's come out and said he thinks he's got a better squad than Celtic. I understand that. He's not going to come out and say he's got a lesser or, you know, his squad's not as good. But I think, you know, most people think Celtic's got a better squad. They've got a stronger squad. There's a more balance about their squad at this moment in time. So I'd be amazed if Rangers could turn the deficit round. So what would Stuart or Rangers fans see as a successful season? Partner of the season for Michael Beale?
Roger, based on these phone lines, I base everything on this show. If Rangers AGM had taken place at any point for the last 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and certainly at any point on those kind of middle 2 weeks in November following the St Mirren game, it would have been intense, to say the least. How much of the heat gets taken off by Michael Beale's appointment, and how much of the heat still exists?
Well, judging by the phone lines tonight, Gordon, an awful lot of the heat has been taken out of things by Michael Beale's appointment, because had, as you say, the situation been going on that had been going on, then the night before the annual general meeting, you would have expected the phone lines here to be ringing off the hook with irate Rangers supporters. Stuart's the first one to come on and discuss the AGM. There are issues. Of course there are issues. There are issues at every club, whether you're Rangers, Celtic, Partick Thistle, it doesn't matter. At an AGM, that is the time when supporters want to get things off their chest. But it sounds to me as if a lot of the supporters are satisfied with the appointment of Michael Beale, and a lot of the heat has been taken out tomorrow's meeting.
Maybe time does that as well, Michael Beale. But I suppose deep down though, because again, go back to the calls we were having, we get loads of criticism for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Roger, but it was, then it would be, but look, this is not just about the manager. Where's the money from Bassi and Aribo in the Champions League and the Europa League final? We didn't invest enough. What we did invest was in the recruitment's been poor, and all these sort of the communication's not been good. Michael Beale can't have fixed all of that, or is that just the sort of fickle bit that football fans do?
As we said, Michael Beale hasn't fixed anything because he's not had an opportunity to fix anything yet. I haven't had a game of football since he was appointed as successor to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. So it'll be fascinating. These meetings always are fascinating. You know, we laugh when people, you know, as you touched upon, their shareholders get up and ask why such and such a player's taking the corners. When, you know, you think an annual general meeting should be about perhaps loftier questions about the future of the club, and the, you know, as an ongoing concern. So it's always fascinating to hear what shareholders bring up. maybe they are going to bring up the things that they've spoken about on this show for several weeks now. We don't know. We'll certainly find out tomorrow. And I think as they digest what is said and what is asked and what is answered, you probably get more phone calls tomorrow night on the phone in about this.
We will find out. Thank you, Stuart. 01419511025. And just like that, we're here already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I had the worst weekend ever. My weekend entirely ruined because the pundits won every night last week. Just kept me awake. Don't do the same this week, please, listeners. Come on, let's get a victory on the board nice and early by dialing 0141 951 1025. You have to dial it before 7 o'clock though, and it could be you who's trying to beat the pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. Please get in touch. Let the guys know what you have been thinking football wise over the weekend. And by the way, just a quick reminder that every caller who comes on air, so as long as you get through, make a point to the panel, you go into the hat for a pair of tickets to the Wim Jansen Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. A wee tribute night to them at the SEC Armadillo in May next year. Lots of the top players from that era will be in attendance, and all you have to do is come on, make a point, and we'll draw out the winner from the people that have called in by the end of the night. And I keep saying it, of course, Celtic fans, that'll be more appealing to you, but even if you're not, you can either go along yourself, get a bit of football chat, or donate them kindly to someone this Christmas. So why not give us a call? 01419511025. Just kicking off, 4 minutes in, I think, Brazil against South Korea, still goalless in that. Neymar returns for Brazil. So will the favourites go through easily, or will there be a wee shock? We've not seen a shock yet in the knockout stages, so we'll keep you up to speed on that one. By the way, any thoughts on the weekend's action? Championship fans, League 1, League 2, come on down, we'll get you after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, we need a better week, listeners. We need a better week. The pundits won every single night. Even when it got to Friday, I had high hopes, and Cammy Bell won 3-0. It was all too easy. So let's see what we can do tonight with Graham in Paisley. How's it going, Graham?
Not bad, thanks, yourself.
Yeah, not bad at all, Graham. You fancy your chances against these two?
No, sure, I'll give it a bash.
That's all you can do. Roger Hanna, despite his best attempts, still starts on -1. He can try and wriggle out of it all he wants, but he's not ready yet. A few more defeats and we'll think about it. And Jim Duffy,
I got a +1.
Not quite, you're not that bad. Jim Duffy will be on tails. So let's see what we've got. And it is tails. It's Jim Duffy.
Good luck, Duff.
Cheers, mate.
Who is going to take on Graham and Paisley. So what we do here then is give Jim some Clyde 2 in his ear. I don't know if he's getting some Christmas music or something over there, Graham, but you and I in here have to consider 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep, no problem.
Great stuff. We'll get the questions ready then. Get the clock set up. And your time starts now. Which Scottish side did Morten Wieghorst leave to join Celtic in 95?
Dundee.
Which player is older, John Lundstrom or Borna Barisic?
Borna Barisic.
Which current St Johnston player has over 500 appearances for Aberdeen?
Andrew Considine.
Name any of the three smallest squads in the Scottish Premiership.
Livingston.
How many SPFL teams have Queen in their full club name?
2.
Name any Premiership manager who's also played in the Scottish top flight.
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Jim Duffy. Jim, can you hear us?
Yeah, there's a little bit of Mariah there. All I want for Christmas.
When I gave you the other station, I said to Roger and to Graham and the listeners, I bet he's listening to Christmas music.
There we go. You can't be a bit of Mariah.
Is that your favourite one?
No, not really, because obviously I'm of a different era. You know,
Pogues Man.
No, Slade.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. Got a bit of a naughty holder on that time.
Okay, I don't judge. Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Scottish side did Morten Wieghorst leave to join Celtic in 95?
Dundee.
Which player is older, John Lundstrom or Borna Barisic?
Lundstrom.
Which current St Johnston player has over 500 appearances for Aberdeen?
Andy Considine.
Name any of the three smallest squads in the Scottish Premiership.
Livingston.
How many SPFL teams have Queen in their full club name?
Three.
Name any Premiership manager who's also played in the Scottish top flight.
Jim Goodwin.
And which team are top of Scottish League 2? Quickly.
Dumbarton.
Okay. We just got time for that last one. What do you think, Graham?
I think he might have done maybe one or two.
Let's find out. You both knew Morten Wieghorst left Dundee to join Celtic. I did serve him,
so I should know.
This is the thing. I had a feeling you had a sort of vested interest there, but Graham got it as well. And Graham knew that Borna Barisic is older than John Lundstrom. He's 2 years older, and Jim Duffy did not. So it's 2-1 to Graham. You both got Andy Considine. You both guessed Livy for the smallest squads, which was fine. Apparently St Mirren and Aberdeen. I don't even know how you quantify permanent members of the first team squad. But anyway, how many SPFL teams have Queen in their name? Queen's Park, Queen of the South. And that's it, Jim Duffy. Right, it's only two. Right. So what are we, 5-3, I think, to Graham at the moment.
I don't know if the Graham got that right then.
He did. Name any Premiership manager who's played in the Scottish top flight. Loads of them. Stevie Hamill, Derek McInnes, Robbie Nielsen, Malky Mackay, Callum Davidson, Lee Johnson, Jim Goodwin. Producer Chris, I would never tell you how to do your job. Maybe the better question would be name the managers who haven't played in the Scottish top flight. But we got there with Jim Goodwin for Jim. And this is where it pays to go fast, Graham, because he got one more question. Who's top of League 2? I'd expect him to know this as well, to be fair. And it is Dumbarton. It's a tailor-made set of questions for Jim Duffy. It feels like 1-2. I think we're level. We're heading to five the all. Tiebreaker. 5-5. What a game.
It's all about entertainment.
And here's the beauty of this question. I'm going to need to change it, because something has happened that means I'm going to need to change it. But I can't give the question away. What I'll do is I will read the question out. I will then get Jim to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Graham, okay?
Yep.
The question is this: Brazil have scored the most goals at all World Cups combined, but how many have they scored since the tournament began in 1930? just in case you're worried about one or two, they've just scored. It's 1-0, so add one on to your previous total. So how many goals have Brazil scored in the World Cup, men's World Cup basically? So Jim Duffy, if you could write your answer down. Oh, you're not getting that long.
Many goals Brazil scored, right?
Okay. And Graham, if you could give me your attempt, please.
155.
Did you both remember to add one on though?
That's how I did.
That's good, right, okay.
I was saying 160,
so
but
Graham, you were going to go 154 until you heard that they scored. That's fine. The answer is 232. So Jim Duffy wins on the tiebreaker. Graham, I must admit, not many listeners come on here, get a 5 and don't walk away with a sign ball. Hard lines. You've met a man in form. Take it easy, Graham.
Cheers now.
There's another penalty by Alex there.
Graham, don't worry, it wouldn't change anything. You would still lose because Jim was closer. But Brazil have got a penalty now, and this could be a long old night for South Korea. They're 1-0 down. They've just given away a penalty, and there's 10 and a half minutes on that clock. Ah, that's not going to stand, is it?
Is it a clear and obvious error?
Oh, no. Come on.
I don't think it's a penalty. I do not think it's a penalty, but
right, it's one of these classic
VAR
ones.
It's one of the classic ones.
I'll describe it to you, and you'll get it straight away. Big defender has got his leg drawn back. He's going to leather up the pitch, but the striker nips in front of him, and then the defender kicks the striker. The only problem here is
I actually don't think he kicks.
He barely touches his studs.
Yeah, brushes it.
He touches the studs of Richarlison, who goes down. Are you having that, Roger Hannah?
No, I don't think they'll turn this round. I think you see Neymar's about to take it. Bad career move.
It's that old question, Jim Duffy. I mean, especially asking a player who played in your era. How can a scuff of your studs send you flying to the turf? And I know, by the way, I know that doesn't mean it is or isn't a foul, but
I don't think it would. But I didn't. I thought they would give it, and I'm the same as Roger. I didn't think they would overturn it. So I think when there's you hear the phrase all the time, contact made, then they think that that's enough in that situation.
Wow, it's going to stand.
But anyway, Neymar's going to take it back in the team again. I don't think he's actually the normal penalty taker, but
Rafinha was about to, he was standing over the ball. He's held it. He's given it over to Neymar, yeah, anyway, who's just back in the
rank,
team.
I think Neymar. I think he's pulled rank. Which is right. I'm back in the team. I'm having it.
He's seen Mbappe and Messi score a few goals, and he thinks I need in on this. So we'll see what Neymar can do. If it does go in, then you can probably start filling out your wall chart. Even you might have done it already, but I think once
goalkeeper
Brazil
very
go,
unusual. He's right at the post. Oh,
wow.
The goalkeeper.
Wow.
He's leaving a big gap for
he's
one
come
side
back to the middle a bit.
Oh,
and now it's mind games.
Again.
Oh, this is getting ridiculous now. We've always seen keepers move across the line, but the keeper for ages stood right at one of his posts. Then he goes dancing along the line. Then Neymar starts the old stutter run up and eventually just coolly rolls it in the corner as the goalkeeper falls to his knees. Just, I'm looking at the Brazilian players all dancing there, Jim and Celo. Is that how you and the Maryhill boys used to celebrate when you scored back in the day?
Yeah, of course.
Me samba.
Yeah, of course you used to do that. Be a bit of rhythm. There's nothing to matter with that, Gordon. But the other thing for me is I've seen so many penalties, so many poor penalties. I thought there was a rule a little while ago that you weren't allowed to stop your run-up.
You can't on the last step. Right. I think that's where they
because I think Lewandowski done that on his two penalties. He scored one and that one. So I think he definitely stopped. Neymar doesn't stop, but I mean, he's almost got to the stage where he's really walked up to the ball and then he rolls. And it's great when the goalkeeper goes the wrong way. If the goalkeeper guesses the right way, it's a terrible penalty.
It is absolutely guaranteed that someone will correct me because they change these things so often. And I'll admit, I've not looked at this one for a while, so I'm probably out of date. Last I checked, I think it's you can stutter until that last step. You know, you can't go, you can't sort of put your foot next to the ball and then stop. But they pretty much, they're almost doing that, aren't they?
Yeah. But anyway, Neymar scored and it's 2-0 Brazil and they're looking cruise control.
Yeah, maybe they've taken that out on reflection. I don't know. It's hard to keep up. I've got enough of it. That's down my priority list, Roger. I need to keep a top of offsides, handballs, see if people want to stutter on their penalties, crack on.
He certainly won the battle of wills with the Korean goalkeeper. 2-0, not even 14 minutes played.
Severe encroachment, no, they don't seem to bother about that when they do that, because when they deal with that stuttering, all the players already in the box.
Yeah, like last night. This was off his line, but half the players were in the box.
Do you notice where the two Brazilian wide men were as Neymar was preparing to take the penalty? You know, everybody stands on the edge of the box. They were stood down the side, the lines. The idea of that being if the goalkeeper pushes it out, they're onto it first. I've never seen that before until Brazil.
See, again,
this
I didn't think that was allowed. I thought you couldn't be ahead of the ball. So there you go.
They weren't ahead of the ball. They were in line with the ball.
Yeah, right. You don't see that very often.
Side, no.
Why
down
not? Because it seems like quite a simple thing to try.
Yeah.
Oh well, listen.
They'll all be doing it. So
somebody will start to like the guy lying behind the wall for a free kick.
Where are you
at the weekend? Have you got a long journey in the Challenge Cup?
Yes, a lot of way up to Elgin.
Yeah,
that's not the nicest of journeys. But listen,
do you go straight to penalties?
Do you know what you've asked me? I think it does actually, but it's strange because I heard Hugh on the programme a couple of weeks ago when Drumchapel were ready to play, and he said to me, send me to his next game. That was his quote.
He did,
Gordon. That was his quote. I heard it on the radio.
So
I was listening.
Borough Briggs.
And what did he draw? Elgin away?
He's turned his back on it. any chance of South Korea coming back then? No.
None whatsoever.
Right, okay. Same for you.
There's more chance of you getting Hugh Keevans to Elgin in the next round of the Scottish Cup.
Yes, all the favourites seem to be winning in the knockout stages, don't they? I mean, you look at last night. I thought it might have been one of those nights for England. They looked miles off it. Senegal looked sort of
first half hour,
up for it, and then it was so easy after that. Jude Bellingham
first goal went in, and England then just went up a level, and you know, the stuffing seemed to be knocked out of Senegal, and Bellingham done well, but you know, again, Foden's link up play, Kane was always going to score eventually. You know, and that goal was a brilliant goal. I have to say, Kane's goal, just in terms of counter attack, it was so slick, quick, great movement, great timing of passes, great weight of pass, and an outstanding finish. So, yeah, it'll be a terrific game, England and France at the weekend.
Yeah, any, of course, the big talking point of the weekend, forget what happened during the game. We touched on at the top of the show, Cammy Devlin of Hearts not playing any minutes at the World Cup, but getting Lionel Messi's jersey in his 1000th game, no less. Roger Hanna,
that will go down well on eBay in years to come, I would imagine. And of course, Gordon, the big talking point of next weekend is, given that we don't have a show on Saturday, and I'm treating Mrs. Hanna to a long awaited Saturday off, we've got a Christmas party night, will she allow me to watch France versus England on my phone at the table?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah, we'll be, you'll be at the table yourself.
It's a resounding
you'll
no.
You'll be in the sin bin, if that's the case.
You'll be at a table in the corner.
It's a rhetorical question. We all know the answer to it.
Are France going to stop England?
I think they will, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, France were my favourites for the tournament mm-hmm. before the ball was kicked. Obviously, there were a few injuries to key players, and Kante in particular, and Benzema, but, you know, they still look an exceptional side. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think it'll be a very, very tight match. You know, could go extra time, but, yeah, I think that they've maybe just got the edge on England in one or two areas, but not much between them, I have to say that.
I think France are elite. England haven't played anyone close to elite in this tournament so far. Wales, Iran, the United States, Senegal... Nowhere near that level of a front four that's got Mbappe, Griezmann, Dembele and Giroud.
Brazil 2, South Korea 0, then 17 and a half gone. Let's take another caller. Barry is a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point for the guys, Barry?
Hi, Pano, how you doing?
Good, good.
Jim, you're talking nonsense. A true Scotsman, France are going to annihilate them. Come on.
Think so?
Aye.
Listen, I listen. Anybody knows me knows about.
Oh, he's a big Scotland fan, is Jim.
I've got certainly no love lost for England, but I'm just looking at it as from a football perspective. I think they've got some terrific players middle to front, but defensively, yeah, I agree that if France turn up and play their very best, then you know they should be good enough. But I don't think there'll be any more than a goal in it. That's me personally.
Annihilate them, mm-hmm. says Barry. Anyway, what's your other point for the guys, Barry?
It's just basically, I think, obviously, Juranovic is away. It's more or less, looks like he's gone. I think Jack and Marcus will probably go in the winter as well. What did the panel think of Lyndon Dykes joining Celtic?
Lyndon Dykes to replace Georgios Giakoumakis, Roger.
Wow. I think if you'd thought Lyndon Dykes was coming back to Scottish football, given that he was his old QPR manager, mm-hmm. just arrived at Rangers, he might have ended up there. I'm not sure Lyndon Dykes is... necessarily what Ange Postecoglou would be looking for. Giakoumakis, I think his agent's trying to lever some extra wages from Celtic. It'll be interesting to see if there are many suitors for him in the window. If there are, I'm quite sure Celtic will have a new centre forward lined up. They're looking at Cho Guesong, who's currently playing for South Korea against Brazil. But I would imagine Giakoumakis would stay at least until the end of the season. And I don't see Lyndon Dykes even a Celtic player.
The beauty of this show, Jim, we get these transfer hypotheticals, mm-hmm. so it's in two parts. Do you think Giakoumakis will leave, and would Lyndon Dykes be a suitable replacement?
I don't think Giakoumakis will leave unless Celtic have a suitable replacement already lined up. Then that's always a possibility. But I don't think he will. I think he'll be there at least until the end of the season. And I'm with Roger. I don't think Lyndon Dykes will be a you never know, but. Looking at the way Celtic play in terms of how they press, how the style of play, the quick movement and interchanging, Lyndon Dykes is an out-and-out number nine. He thrives on crosses, he thrives on link-up play, if you want to call it that, and I don't think that's quite the way Celtic play. So I don't think he'd be suited to Celtic. That's me personally. I
wouldn't dare to disagree with you on such a matter, but just for a big guy, a bit of the cliche... Mm. He's quite busy though, isn't he? You know, is he quite active in a press for a big guy, Lyndon Dykes?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think he would be the exact style that Ange Postecoglou seems to favour. And I don't think he'd be a player for Celtic.
What makes you put him on your list, Barry?
It's more the physicality. He's a big, strong striker. I think he's not afraid to ruffle a few centre backs' feathers as well. Obviously. When I watched them playing up against Julian and stuff like that, he certainly wasn't fazed. I think he would do a good job for Celtic. I take your point that it's maybe not what Celtic play, but to be fair, Giakoumakis isn't really a link-up player. I would say, per se, that's his strength. His strength is more a physicality. I'm just talking hypotheticals. I was pretty disappointed that... You know, he's been linked. Maybe it is just an agent trying to wring some more money, but I was just wanting to see. Obviously, Lyndon Dykes knows the Scottish game as well, and I was just hoping that we could bring him in, maybe, you know.
Yeah, how does he differ stylistically then from Giakoumakis?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're both physical, but I think Lyndon Dykes is more of a target man in terms of feeding off crosses. Don't get me wrong, Giakoumakis is good, but, you know, I think that, as I said, he's now got a he comes alive round about the penalty box. He's I think he gets frustrated because obviously he's not the number one striker Kyogo is. But you know, his goal return for games played, I still think he's very good. I think, as I said, he does work hard. He can run the channels. I think he's I genuinely think he's a really good all round striker. Lyndon Dykes, I think, is good, and I think he's improved far beyond the level I thought he could. Mm-hmm. I think particularly with Scotland, he's been absolutely terrific. But Scotland played, you know, a different style, a different way. And again, I just think that going into a Celtic team, he would have to have more crosses in the box. Listen, that doesn't mean that Ange Postecoglou, when you see them, put more crosses in, but I think that's the type of guy he is. Yeah. So I just think there's a slight difference in styles. I think Giannoumakis is a little bit more mobility about him.
The crazy thing is, Roger, this, I'm not saying this is right or fair, but Lyndon Dykes signed a 4-year deal at QPR and signed for about £2 million. You probably need to pay a good few million pounds to get Lyndon Dykes away from QPR.
If he signs a contract at QPR, I'm sure integrity and things will keep him
steady.
There
steady.
Sorry, I'm taking the mickey a wee
too
bit
soon.
Yeah, you would need to pay a lot of money. But listen, as Duff said earlier on, Celtic have just paid £3 million plus for Alistair Johnson, the Canada right back. So I don't think you know, if Lyndon Dykes was the player that Ange Postecoglou wanted to bring in, I don't think the fee would be an impediment at all.
Thank you, Barry. 01419511025. Barry's in the hat for those tickets. We're going to get a teaser. We'll get more of your calls after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
You not missed a great deal. Brazil certainly looked the most likely. Still Brazil 2, South Korea 0. Neymar has just skinned two South Korea players and referee at the same time. Interestingly enough, you don't see that too often. But you would have to imagine Brazil will go through and join Croatia from earlier on. So well done to Josip Juranovic and Borna Barisic. Commiserations. Daizen Maeda scored actually for Japan, but they lost on penalties. Some horrific penalties, doesn't, it must be said.
Doesn't Neymar remind you of Gordon DL?
No, not at all.
Yeah, his hair's a different colour for the last World Cup.
That's a good point. We're going to speak to Raymond and Greenock in just a second. Let me quickly give you a teaser first, though. So the aim of the game.
What a goal! I would applaud that. I would applaud that goal.
That is the best goal in the World Cup. That will not be beaten. Thank you.
Better than Mbappe's.
I'm applauding that goal. That is just a joy to watch. If that doesn't put a smile on your face,
I'm just kidding. It's clearly
sorry, Jamie Sneddon. You've just lost the goal of the weekend.
Proper flamboyant, typical Brazilian.
It feels like the World Cup when something like that happens.
Brazilian football at its very best.
I wonder if our colleague, Mr. DL's watching, because you'll have missed this at the weekend, Jim. You know, he's like unpredictable, grumpy, erratic. He hates the World Cup, apparently.
All right, okay.
Just not interested. He's lost faith in it. He said he was turning off.
Coronation seat's been put back or something like that. You know?
Probably. So we'll see if he. I don't know if he's watching, but that would get you out. That'll get him out of his recliner if he has. Do you know what? It would be nice to see the goal again, but they're doing a 50 man choreographed dance routine
with the manager
in celebration, which is stopping us getting to see the goal again. Which
they'll,
is not
they'll add about 10 minutes onto this first half here. You know,
but they went down to the corner flag, did a team dance, then came back to halfway and did a.
He has a wee bit of keep you up here himself.
Right, so he keeps up with his head three times.
And then just a wee flick.
Flicks it round the defender.
Wee flick, another wee flick, little 1-2.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, my.
Just roll it in.
Oh, yes, that is nice. I'll give you that. Okay, Brazil 3, South Korea 0. Raymond's still on the line. And quickly, the aim of the game on the full time teaser, you send the questions in, the pundits struggle with the answers. That's kind of how it goes. Fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the email you need. And I think, though, on the easier, more gentle side, this one from Dale Hanley. Thank you to Dale for sending it. A couple of tricky ones. Celtic have had 8 players that were either Israeli or signed from an Israeli club. So Celtic have had 8 players that were either Israeli or signed from an Israeli club. Can you name any, Jim, to kick us off?
Yeah, Kyle.
Beram. Kyle, well done. Roger.
Leila Bada.
Leila Bada, currently there. I'll take one more guess, Jim.
Wait a minute. There's obvious ones there, but I'm just trying to think of the other ones.
No, just go for the obvious ones if you so wish. No. Roger, do you want to put him out of his misery?
El Hamed.
Okay, I think it was a team effort. I think Jim was about to say that as well. Okay, we'll leave it there. So that's 3 down, 5 to go. Looking for 8 players that were either Israeli or come from an Israeli club to Celtic, fulltime at Clyde1.com. Come up with a question, email it in, just like Dale did tonight, and we'll use it on the show. Let's bring in Raymond, who's in Greenock. He's a Morton fan. You thinking about the big time yet, Raymond?
I think it's about time. I mean, there's such a big area, you know. Like, why are we not up there in the Premier League top 12? Jim Duffy, how you doing? Legend.
Yeah, good, Raymond. Thank you.
Aye, good man. Good,
good to
good,
see
good.
Morton doing well.
See, here's the difference, right, between some of our pundits. Gordon Dalziel is desperate for Ayr to fail because he doesn't want them to do better than they did when he was there. Yeah, yeah. But you're not like that. You would quite happily see Morton get promoted this year, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Having said that, I mean, Raymond saying, you know, is it time? You can dream big, but what a mad division it is, Jim. And it's in December. You wouldn't be surprised if things changed a lot. Can they stay?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's very, very competitive. As I mentioned earlier on, Dundee are starting to get a little bit of a, you know, rhythm going now. Obviously, at the start of the season, I thought it'd be between Dundee and Partick Thistle. But United have been exceptional. Obviously, you know, having that consistency of natural goal scorer, Yaki Niemi's been magnificent. But in terms of Morton, I think Dougie Emery's done an unbelievable job with him and Andy Milne. I think that, you know, Andy's experience has helped as well, Dougie being a young manager. But for the resources they have and the budget and all these sort of things, listen, they need a clean bill of health. That's the thing. They don't have too many options. If Muirhead or Jai Katongo's injured or something like that up front, they don't have too many options. But at the back, they're rock solid. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, listen, they've got a terrific opportunity. At the very worst, I think they'll be in the playoffs. And I don't think anybody will fancy going to Capello, you know, at the end of the season if they're there, thereabouts.
Saturday sums up the difficulty, though, Raymond. Draw at Arbroath, which isn't an absolute disgrace. It's not an embarrassment, but it's now fourth place because, the teams round about you win. Granted, only 3 points off top, but that probably sums up how tough it is, isn't it?
It just shows you, I mean, we were second place. You know, if Ayr had dropped points, we had won, then we're top, and then we're fourth. You know, there's like 10 points, I think, separating 1 to 7. It's just, for me, it's the most competitive league in the world. I don't know about anywhere else that any team can win, you know.
I mean, that's it, Roger. You can put whatever sort of limits on it you want. Raymond's right, it's 10 points between first and seventh. It's 4 points between the top four. It's congested, to say the least.
Yeah, and I have to say, with the Premiership being off for the World Cup, Gordon, I've thoroughly enjoyed Championship games and the Scottish Cup games that have been covered. I've seen Ayr a couple of times when they put five past Queen's Park, when they drew with Morton, which was a really good game, two decent sides. They beat Raith at the weekend. I've seen Thistle beating Arbroath. I was up at Dens last weekend when Dundee scored six against Airdrie in the Cup. There are some good teams in that league. And, you know, the last 10 years, if you look at it, you know, Rangers have gone through it, Hearts have gone through it, Hibs have gone through it, Dundee United have gone through it, Kilmarnock have gone through it. There's not a, you know, really an outstanding side with a far bigger budget than everybody else in the league this season. And I think this excitement will go right to the wire in this league this season.
I mean, I'm sure Dougie Emery would be listening saying, oh, hold on, Dundee, you've got a bigger budget than us. But I would take your point, you know, in terms of some of the proper big hitters that have been in recent seasons. Raymond, all of a sudden, though, it does seem like quite an experienced squad in places. You know, some good important players signed, obviously, from being my neck of the woods. Liam Grimshaw played many games for Motherwell's in at right back these days. You've signed another experienced centre half that everyone recognises from the top flight.
Effie Ambrose.
Big Effie's been such a great signing. So he has. Imagine Morton signing Effie Ambrose. It's just happened.
I suppose that do you need a bit of that, Jim? I suppose teams that have come up have done it in loads of different ways. You know, there's no right or wrong. You can have a bit of experience. Some teams will do it with a complete sort of younger, fresher, dynamic team. But have they got it's a bit of a different mix now, it seems, at Morton.
Yeah,
than
so
it used
saying, to be. You know, Jack Baird was in there, did very well at the start of season. You know, as you said, they've brought in some competitive players in the middle of the pitch, and also they've still got some boys that have come through the system, like Lewis Strapp and Lewis McGrattan, and guys like that are still in and around in the team and in the squad as well. But, you know, it's just getting that balance right. They seem to have a real togetherness there. I think that when you go to Capello, you want teams to dread it. You want to be going down there thinking, oh, this is going to be one tough game. And that's the way they've made it. But you know, the score goals, as I said, they're ultra competitive. But he's Roger had mentioned some of those other clubs.
Oh my, Brazil are 4-0 up inside 36 minutes.
It's another brilliant football goal and a great finish. But I think that, as I said, just going back to Morton, I think that, yeah, you're right, there's, you know, very little between an awful lot of the clubs. But, you know, when I was there, for instance, you know, you had Rangers in the league, you had Hibs in the league. As Roger said, there aren't these type of teams, even though Dundee probably will have a healthier budget than most, they're not miles away from everyone else. So, yeah, I think if they can just maybe add someone else in the front department to supplement the players they have in the January window and keep that nucleus of a squad there, as you mentioned, Effie Ambrose at the back and alongside that, you know, real strong organisation they have. If they can just add one more to the firepower, I think that they'll be definitely in the top four.
Would the biggest budget in the league not be Queen's Park? Potentially?
Could be. But we, you know, what we're saying is that these guys, you know, this shows you again, Queen's Park are up there, they've got a terrific manager, Owen Coyle, or these kind of guys. So, you know, it's going to be thrilling, and I agree with Roger. I think the last week of the season, you might well have 5-6 teams still in with a shout, not just have won the title, but certainly competing for the top four places.
Right, I'm sorry though, Effie Ambrose, Owen Coyle, you can all take your place in the queue. There is only one main man from the championship at the weekend, Roger Hannah. It seems like a perfect time to talk about it. Jamie Sneddon, Partick Thistle's goalkeeper, scoring a 95th minute equaliser. It does not get better than that.
What a weekend he's had. I think they're off to Benidorm for the...
I was going to say, right, we thought, as you would do, why don't we get him on the show tonight? We'll get him on the phone, that would be great. Yeah, the man of the moment. And the message came back to say that they are in Benidorm and therefore it probably wouldn't be wise for him to come on the phone. So there we go, I think that answers that one.
And he's already spoken to David Friel this weekend, as if his weekend couldn't have got any better. An interview up at Balmoral Stadium with David Friel for Super Scoreboard on Saturday night.
But seriously though, I mean, have you ever seen a goalie score live? I don't think I have.
Not sure I have. I did remember speaking to Mark Wilson, touched upon it in the show on Saturday, his goalie Breakin Lewis McMinn, who I think scored against Stirling, but that was from a kick out. You know, he wasn't up in the box and heading the ball home or anything like that. So I remember interviewing Lewis after he'd scored that goal, but no, actually live at a game, I don't think I have.
None of us have been as involved as you, Jim. You seen a goalie? Any of your goalies ever done it?
To be honest with you, I've a vague recollection of somebody scored, but not from a header, like from a long punt.
A kick, you know, bounces kick over, maybe.
Yeah, but I can't for the life of me remember where I was, but I'm sure it happened in one of the teams over the many games. But yeah, I mean, as a rare, I mean, obviously the famous Jimmy Glass one for Carlisle is always going to be brought because it saved them from relegation. So that was the most momentous one. But yeah, there's so many times I see goalkeepers going up and I think, what is
the point?
Send the fullback up, he's got more chance than let the goalie sit on the edge of the box. But it's just one of those situations where it happens.
I mean, the big one here a couple of years ago was Xander Clark, but did that even go down as his?
Yeah, you thought it was going against Rangers, but it wasn't.
Did someone get a touch?
Chris Kane.
It was the Hibs goalie that banged one in from his own box over the keeper's head a couple of seasons ago.
Oh,
Mark Oxley? No.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen one live. I'd love to, I must admit. But a good header, by the way, from Jamie Sneddon, who's not that tall, despite being a goalkeeper.
An absolutely terrific finish by the lad.
It was a brilliant header. Let's hear from him. He spoke to us after the show on Saturday and just trying to take it all in.
I think it's the second time I've been up in the opposition box in my life. It's all a blur, to be honest with you. I got the signal for our goalie coach Kenny to go up, so I just went up, no one was picking me up. I sort of went to the back post, I don't know why, and then just sort of arched my way around, and the ball just, I just seen the ball coming to me, and I don't really remember the rest.
Have you ever scored a goal in your life before?
Not since primary school, no.
A header?
No, definitely no. I absolutely hate heading in the ball. I don't think I've ever done it in my life, but boys are saying it's the best header they've ever seen, but I don't know what happened to me.
So when the call was coming to you, what are you thinking?
It was kind of like coming through the floodlights, so I could barely even see it, and I just remember, honestly, I don't remember much, it's just a blur.
And then the fans are all on you as well.
I just remember just a big smile coming on my face and just wheeling away. I don't even know what I'd done as a celebration. And then next thing I know, I was just at the bottom of a pile, just trying to keep myself safe. I was waiting for someone to stand on me or someone, but I was just mental. I had everyone shouting in my face, and it was just one of those surreal moments in your life that you'll remember forever.
Couldn't even see it coming through the floodlights. Come on, he needs to give himself a bit of credit. Pretend that he saw it all the way.
He was out of the team for a period of the season. David Mitchell get back in, you know, and started the season, I think, and Jamie Stain last year done really well. So, yeah, not only getting in the team, but saying to his gaffer, right, Ian, you're not going to leave me out now, because if you're needing a goal scorer in the last minute, I'm your man.
And a big point for the Jags as well, it's been sort of, it's disappeared because of the novelty factor of the goalkeeper scoring. But had Thistle lost at Cove at the weekend, they really were beginning to lose touch with that top four. That was an important point for them.
Absolutely. Thank you to Raymond and Greenock, by the way. He goes into the hat for those tickets earlier on, even though he's a Morton fan. Everyone goes in the hat, so thank you, Raymond. It is 01419511025 to join him. And please do, you can email us if you want to hear your full time teaser used on the show. And that's what Dale Handley's done tonight. Can you name 8 players that have been at Celtic who were either Israeli or from an Israeli club? So Beram Kayal, Lea Labada, and Hatem El Hamed. That's 3.
The only 2 I've got is obvious ones, Nir Beaton and Ayo Berkovic.
Okay, give me 1 guess, Roger.
Not
that's,
a guess.
That's only 2 I've got.
Raymond gave you it. Effie Ambrose,
well done. Right, we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls if you want to get involved next.
Number 1 for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Just before half time, it's Brazil 4 South Korea 0. It could be more. If anything, they're getting complacent. I know that's why they're here, Roger Hanna, but they sort of showboating when it comes off is magnificent. But they're in full Harlem Globetrotter mode, and if they weren't, they might be even further ahead.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what they do now, whether in the second half they take the foot off the pedal. They've got a big quarter final coming up against Croatia. They've already got 2 or 3 injuries in the squad. Gabriel Jesus is out for the tournament, a couple of left backs injured as well. So does the manager make 4 or 5 changes early in the second half, or do they only put the foot down and try and get more?
I was thinking, I mean, World Cup knowledge is not a major strong suit of mine. I was thinking, what are the biggest knockout stage victories? But of course, Brazil were on the receiving end of one.
7-1
against Germany, weren't they? Did Portugal put 7 past North Korea in 2010?
I think certainly some, but
I remember Germany 8 against Saudi Arabia, but that strikes me as being a group stage game.
I think for Brazil, it's one of those ones they might protect the players. I know maybe Neymar, for instance, but you know he's obviously just back from an injury. But when you start to showboat, no matter who you're playing, people get frustrated, so you're likely to invite a tackle, should we say. So, and that's when you can get injured. And obviously, I think it's in the Brazil DNA that they have to showboat, particularly when they're 1-4-0.
Quite right too. Zaire 9-0 defeat against Yugoslavia. Yeah,
that was a costly one. That was a group stage as well.
See, Brazil, I'm telling you, they're complacent now, Jim. That's another golden chance for Richarlison. Much easier than the one he missed. They scored.
Yeah, and also I think at 0-0 he just squares that, and just it's for a tap in for one of his teammates. But they're all wanting to get, you know, themselves one of the top goal scorers and enhance their own reputations. But yeah, listen, they've got the luxury of doing it, because I mean, South Korea are just shell-shocked. They've gone completely. They need the half-time whistle, and they'll just come out the second half and just try and damage limitation, really.
I've said before, I think I've made it fairly common knowledge that Mrs. Duncan could not know less about football if she tried. Like, just does not come across her radar at all. But she does have South Korea in the sweepstake. I've just had some very insulting words sent in. I don't know if she thinks this is some sort of shock, or she was hoping for a different outcome. I think this is what most people anticipated. Maybe not this easy, actually, because this is proper exhibition stuff. 5 minutes added at the end of that first half, which are almost done. So they would get Croatia then, wouldn't they? Yeah. After this. Well, they will, let's be honest. Even in this mad game, there's not going to be a change here. So Barisic, Juranovic, rest up, because you've got Neymar and Vinicius and whoever else coming at you.
And they've just the full 120 minutes to get past Japan, so they'll certainly need to rest up if they're going to take on the Brazilians. And the Brazilians look as if they're the team to beat in this tournament.
We're not that far away, of course, from the Premiership resuming a week on Thursday. We'll be Rangers against Hibs, so we're not too far. We've been speaking about things to look forward to for Rangers fans, or maybe, I don't know if looking forward's the right expression, AGM tomorrow. When are Hearts back from Spain? That's what we really need to know after this friendly match got abandoned due to Barney. Roger Hanna, they must be back soon, are they?
Well, yeah, I think Eddie Hearn will be meeting them off the plane at Edinburgh Airport. You see some of the
Tyson Fury bill.
Yeah, some of the shots that were thrown, as they say, Jim, against Almeria. It was a pretty decent win that knocked Alec Cochrane in his backside, I think.
I was going to say Alec Cochrane, he starts it. He's a wee nibble tackle. At the boy who then, well, puts him in his backside, yeah. Basically. Is it although it was one of the Hearts youngsters is the one that's caught the eye, wasn't it? Is it Aaron Darg, you call him? Mm-hmm. Darg, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Darg. He is. I don't think it was the first punch he's ever thrown. Put it that way. I mean, he's only 19. I saw people saying, "Get this boy signed up. Get this guy on a long term extension." He waded right in among players much older than him.
Where was Halliday? That's what we need to know. Let's cut to the chase. Where was Halliday?
See, this is the thing. He's clearly there for a free holiday, right? You guys not even been playing the friendlies because he's nursing that injury, isn't he? The old Achilles. Mm-hmm. So he says. He's got the hair transplant as well. So he's got.
You can't hear it anyway.
He's got one of those.
You're not allowed to hear it, so he's all right.
Yeah, he's got one of the wee, you know, the wee umbrella hats that you get because he wants a bit of sun on it, but just not too much, just the old sort of miracle grow.
I have to be honest with you, it's not the first time I've known that, you know, friendlies, pre-season friendlies and stuff like that.
Is it not? Is it?
No. There's been a couple of, I certainly know that I've been involved in a couple over the years that, not me personally, but teams that I've been involved in having a...
So why is that then? Because obviously the logic says it should be the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's because of that, because the teams are, you know...
They're accepting,
well, wait a minute, this is a little friendly and somebody's when we have really bad tackle or somebody doesn't... I remember myself, you know that you could be seen from here, but I've got a scar underneath my eye up here, and it was an elbow from, he's now quite a well-known horse trainer, Mick Quinn, who was an experienced player at that time, and it was a friendly match, and just playing away the next minute he's just absolutely done me with an elbow bust, and I was skinnier then, so I had the high cheekbones and it was just opened up.
And I bet you took that well, so don't worry about it.
Correct. I was like Bruce Lee for the next 20 minutes trying to attack him, you know. So I was going, everything was going, you know. So and then there was a bit of a stramash, and then there was a bit of a fight, and then the teams came off the pitch and all sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, there has been a few occasions over the years where friendlies don't turn into the friendly they should be. Yeah,
I must admit, I'm well aware of my responsibilities here as a professional broadcaster, Roger Hanna, so I don't want to stray over the line too much, but is the biggest lie ever told in football when these things are described as scenes that no one wants to see? I can't think of a bigger
everybody
lie.
Wants to see it.
Given they're on the back page of all the newspapers this morning, everybody wants
scenes
to
that,
see.
They just rename scenes that everyone wants to see.
Absolutely correct.
Shouldn't condone violence and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, hopefully the bosses aren't listening. We've got not long left, actually, and it is half time in that game. Let's see if we can round off this teaser. It was a good one tonight, actually. I liked it from Dale Handley. This is the type of thing we're looking for, but it can be about anything at all. So get your thinking caps on, put a question together, send it to fulltime@clyde1.com, and I'll do my best to use it on the show and catch the pundits out. So Dale tonight wanted to know if you could name 8 players who've been at Celtic who were either Israeli or have come from an Israeli club. So Nir Biton, Kayal, Abada, El Hamed, Berkovic, they all of course represented Israel internationally. I'm sure Effie Ambrose came from an Israeli club. I know that the Anorak in the corner will probably have them. But do you, Jim Duffy?
I've got something in the back of my mind, but I can't remember. It's a Chevron or Chazon or something,
you know,
like that.
It's not that close, but I can see where you're going.
You're thinking of Rami Gershon.
He's thinking of Rami Gershon. He is indeed. What did he play? A couple of times, if you're lucky.
Is he Israeli?
He's Israeli, yeah.
Gershon.
Yes. Right, what was that, Roger? Neil Lennon era? First time,
yeah, would be coming in low, and a vague recollection of maybe scoring at Inverness.
Yeah, that's about all I can
maybe
remember.
His only goal.
Yeah, I think so. Right, one more.
No, I'm toiling.
No.
I'm okay. Out.
Not Israeli.
Yeah, signed from Israeli club.
Yes.
Who's going to be Maccabi signed for this?
So What era are we talking?
Yeah,
quite recent. He would have been there under Ange Postecoglou. He's not there anymore. Right. He played under Ange Postecoglou actually at the start.
Midfielder?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
I don't feel so bad that Roger can't get it.
What'd you call the film character that wears the wee black mask across his eyes?
Oh, Ismaila Sorrow.
Ismaila Sorrow, not Zorro.
Not Zorro, Sorrow.
Ismaila Sorrow, well done. Thank you, Jim. And Roger, thanks for all your calls. Well done, Graham and Paisley. You've won the tickets to that Celtic night. We'll be in touch with you shortly. So congratulations again. Thanks for all your calls and tweets. Gordon DL, Mark Wilson are here tomorrow. And Callum Gallagher is up next.